This is a public service announcement brought to you, in part, by liquor. This podcast is produced by belligerent, drunken pricks. As a result, there may or may not be spoilers contained within. We will try, dear listener, to warn you that a spoiler is incoming, though we cannot promise. We're drunk, goddammit, so consider this your first and final warning. Furthermore, we would like to take the time to point out there will be a fair fucking amount of coarse fucking language.
My beard, it's quite impressive. It's sending you a message. I'm gonna make your hairy dreams come true. My beard, you know you want it. Now, baby, it's time to get on it. Girl, don't be afraid, cause I am bringing my beard to you.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and finally fucking joining me back in the hallowed hall of beards, the Ezra to my Kanan, it's
JD.
Fuck me, hasn't it been a mission to get together this last fucking month?
Wasn't it?
Ugh.
Fuck me, Dad. So much shit's gone on with it. Yeah.
There's been illness, there's been laziness, there's been hangovers.
Well, not so much laziness, there's fucking illness and uncontrolled circumstances.
Yeah. Shit's been fucked up all over the board.
And we were too hungover last week. Fuck me, Dad.
Jesus Christ, kiddies. I tell you fucking what you want to know about a hangover. God damn it.
Good night. Good night before.
Oh, fucking great
night. I don't regret a thing, but fuck.
No. God, Jesus Christ. I'll give you a fucking clue. Don't mix stout, lager, rum, scotch, whiskey, vodka, fucking, what else was
it? Chartreuse.
Oh, there was a couple shots of tequila and a couple shots of chartreuse on top. Fuck. Dude, my head's never fucking hurt so much in its entire fucking life, I tell
you.
See,
I wasn't too bad. I drank the same thing. The only reason I spewed was because I had to fucking change my baby's bum.
Yeah, why?
And it made me gag, and then that was it.
I had family up, and it got a bit fucking cray-cray.
Yeah.
To say the goddamn least.
Just a wee bit.
So, it's time for a booze review.
A booze review!
So what do you got for us this week, bro?
I got a bottle of, what's left of a bottle of fucking Eagle Rare bourbon, single barrel.
Mighty fine little bourbon, isn't it? We found out last weekend.
It was originally created by the Seagram Company, who was a large corporation back in the day that have since not so much dispersed, but sold their assets. And the main ones that have bought all their assets, like they were a big distiller of alcoholic beverages and business ventures and entertainment and shit.
Yeah.
And the ones that have notably sold, bought it was Coca-Cola, Diageo and Pernod Ricard, who...
Nice.
We
own fucking everything.
Pretty almost. Well. So this Eagle Rare was originally 110 proof, and it was a straight bourbon whiskey, not a single barrel. It was introduced in 1975. It was one of the last new bourbon brands introduced prior to the current era of small batches.
Yeah.
Fucking the Cesarek Company, which is an American family company based in New Orleans, own five distilleries, and they bought this Eagle Rare from Seagram in March 1989.
Damn.
And the distillery that caught it was the George T. Stagg Distillery. And if you recall back a few podcasts ago, they were previously... Oh, well, that was their previous name to Buffalo Trace Distillery. So Buffalo Trace owned him.
I thought it was Ancient Age was Buffalo Trace.
No, Cesarek.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But anyway, that explains a lot, to be honest. But I'll get into that fucking later. As of 2005, the 110 proof was discontinued, hence why it's now 90.
Oh, cue the booing.
Boo. Anyway, they've now dropped it down to 90 proof, and it's a single barrel whiskey, which I fucking love. It's aged 10 years, and there's two different types. There's the 10 years and the 17 year old, both of which have won multiple gold and double gold medals since about 2005 up to now. And that's pretty well it on the history of the fucking Eagle Rare.
Nice. Now, nice.
I picked it up at our local for about $69, and it is 45% or 90 proof. I like it, but I'm not just a big... I'm not a big fan of the fucking price tag.
Yeah, price tag does sort of fucking hurt it a bit, but like, I mean, it is rather nice, and it is a sexy looking fucking bottle.
It is.
Gotta give them that.
I like the cork.
Yes.
I like where things are going with the cork. I'm a fan of the cork. Yeah. Fucking, that's all I've got really to say on the Eagle Rare. It's a nice drop. It kind of reminds me of a mixture between Buffalo Trace and Jack Daniels, number 7.
Yeah, there is a lot of fucking Buffalo sort of fucking notes and fucking modes about it. I do like it. And it is a rather fucking sexy looking colour too.
Isn't it?
I think that's even my word for this review, or just my word for the podcast.
Sexy.
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 Sexy. Because it is, man. It's a beautiful colour, and that smell.
Oh, it's so sweet, isn't it?
Oh, like, I mean, you can... It has that faint little fucking nose hair fucking singeing scent of just a strong fucking liquor about it. But it's also got a rather fucking smoothly sweet sort of fucking tang about it, which I quite fucking like.
But yeah, that's what I got from the Buffalo Trace when we redid the fucking shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was surprised about the fucking Maker's Mark. Shit.
I tell you what, I'm going to fucking post that fucking that shootout because, Jesus Christ, we learned some things. Putting everything into perspective. So,
didn't we what?
Let's look at that.
So, down the hatch. Cheers.
Cheers. Bucket smooth, eh?
You can definitely tell it's 45.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a bit of a delayed fucking burn to it, but...
Yeah, obviously it's there when it's there.
probably wouldn't be fucking breathing on any open flames after you fucking had a swig or two, but... It's fucking rather smooth aside from that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, mixed or fucking on the rocks, I'd drink it either way. Like, this is the one that I drank the other night when we were talking about on the fucking...
Yeah, it mixes.
Why we didn't do the other podcast.
Fucking amazing. Like, it's definitely sort of more for your on the rocks.
Mm.
But, I mean, if you were inclined to mix it, holy shit, does it mix fucking well.
Oh, yeah,
well,
definitely a gentleman's drink. But, yeah, it mixes really, really well. Especially with cola.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dangerous.
Although, I reckon it'd make a fucking awesome old-fashioned, too.
Mm.
Yes.
So, down to the rating. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Between?
A and a B.
Oh, really?
I know.
Shit.
I'm not going to give it an A+, because the price tag knocks it off.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
Like, I was expecting a little bit more towards... Like, I'm obviously it's a 45%er and it's more than Jack Daniels, but less than the Booker.
Yeah, but I mean, but you got to think of the other entries into this sort of class. So, like, you're looking at your Ballantines or your Ballantines or your fucking, what else is there? Your Buffalo Trace, I think, falls into that.
No, Buffalo Trace was about 40.
Oh, fuck, was it?
Yeah.
No, are you sure?
40 or 50. Wasn't quite to the 70 standard.
Okay, so I think we've got the Booker Nose, the friggin' this, the Ballantines.
Yeah, well, this
and
is...
And that Basil Hayden's, which we haven't actually reviewed.
This is around about a premium
price it tag. Is. It definitely falls into the premium range of fucking of bourbons you're going to get, so...
Like, I've got to give it credit. It's a fucking nice bottle, nice drink, nice colour. I fucking love it. But for 45% and... I just can't see paying $70 for it or $69.
Yeah, true. That I suppose.
$60, I'd fucking go out of my way to buy every week.
Yeah,
but well, I'm gonna give this one an A-.
Nice, fair enough. I'm gonna give it an A.
Nice,
because I do rather enjoy it, and I, you know, remember fucking because we fucking like you said, we tucked into it last weekend.
Mm.
It went down fucking so goddamn smooth, and I can't. Really hold, you know, the bunch of fucking Mormons knocking around me fucking different parts of my head the next day because I drank a lot of different things. Dude. So I can't hold the hangover against it. So I'm going to give it an A. Like, I still probably go the Ballantines over it. And I do believe the Ballantines is just a tad fucking cheaper.
Yep.
But...
See, that's what I mean. It's I couldn't... Yeah.
But anyway, in saying that, I do fucking rather enjoy it.
Mm.
It's worth buying a bottle just if only to have the, if you're like me and you like to collect your fucking bottles, just to have one sitting on your shelf, because it is a sexy looking fucking design on the front.
Oh yeah.
So
it's a very patriotic looking bottle too.
Yeah, it is a very patriotic fucking bottle. JTE, the schmoes love it.
Yep. Get into it.
So I'm going to give that one an A. That's an A minus from JD, and that was
Eagle Rare single barrel bourbon.
Fantastic.
So what did you pick up this week?
Man, I've had this sitting in my fucking in my
last
shelf
couple of weeks
for about a month. It's been so hard not to polish this fucker off, because fuck, it is nice. I am talking about Aberlour 10-year-old Highland single malt Scotch whiskey. Although technically it's a Speyside, just
well, pretty sort well,
of, sort of part of
pretty
Highland.
Well Highland.
Yeah, pretty much a Highland fucking whiskey. So Aberlour is actually a fucking pretty old ass place. For more than 1400 years there's been a community there, and signs of its long heritage are found all around. The distillery itself, even though it's said it was founded in 1879, there's actually been a distillery there since 1826, so it has got a bit of an age about it. Now it was founded by a fellow by the name of James Fleming. He was a son of a local tenant farmer, and he became a grain dealer with many whiskey distillers amongst his customers. Now, apparently they sort of encouraged him, you know, to make your own, and why the fuck not? So he got himself a parcel of land at Aberlour, and with it, he actually got it sourced quite near to St. Drostan's Well, which is, you know, part of one of the Spey fucking rivers over there.
Mm.
So
where you'd want it to be.
Yeah, look, the thing about these sort of Highland fucking Speyside whiskies is because, you know, it was formed, it's got all the peat around it, and it's sort of formed, the Highlands were formed by, you know, sort of a lot of volcanic activity way, way, way back in the day. Mm. Just give me one fucking second. God damn it. So, you know, it's Speyside has got the largest number of distilleries. I mean, that's where, you know, the Glenrothes, fucking Glenfiddich, friggin' the Macallan, the Glenlivet sort of all come from.
All the Glens.
All, you know, yeah, basically all the decent Glens that you're going to fucking drink, pretty much. So, you know, and during the Ice Age, you know, because it all went under, sort of all went under ice, once that sort of shit sort of started to thaw out a bit, all those glaciers formed the Lochs of Scotland, right? So what you get now is all those rivers and shit, they flow straight through peat. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And the thing that gives Scotch its, you know, fucking nice, smoky, earthy sort of flavour is peat. So you get a double hit with your Speysides and your Highland Scotches, because they're not only fucking doing the malt, smoking the malt with the peat, but it's also the water.
It has
those peaty notes about it. So, I mean, you get this rather full, really sort of robust and fucking quite heavy sort of fucking Scotch about you. So I was actually a bit surprised to learn that in 1898 a fire destroyed most of the distillery.
Oh dang.
And most of the whiskey stock. So by that stage I'm pretty sure old Fleming had fucking carked it. So they got a fellow by the name of Charles Doig of Elgrin. Oh, fuck, I'm hoping saying that right, probably not. who was actually one of Scotland's, you know, biggest fucking whiskey distilleries designers now. How's that for a fucking job?
Like, yeah,
isn't that just right up there? So they rebuilt it. And over the past 100 years, you know, they've kept up with the modernization of technology, and the landscape of the distillery has inevitably been altered. So, I mean, you can still find some of the original features there, but for the most part, it's a continuously fucking upgraded sort of fucking deal. Look, man, it's, like I said, it's a 10-year-old single malt. I've been digging the sugar malts. I picked it up for about $55.
Digging the fucking 10-year-olds today, too.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah. I didn't notice that before.
Now, the thing I like about this one is it's a little bit sweeter than most of your sort of normal scotches.
I'm down for sweetness.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's still a scotch, doesn't it? Never going to be that fucking sweet.
Fuck no.
It's got just that hint of fucking sweetness to it. You know what I mean? It's this sort of buttery sort of sweetness, which I quite enjoy. It might even be cinnamon yet. I'm not quite fucking sure, to be perfectly honest. My nose is a little bit
fucked. My fine is more cinnamon than butter.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a rather dark sort of fucking spirit, which you get a lot with your Speyside single malts.
Yeah, well,
I have noticed.
A lot of scotches are a little bit lighter than this, I've noticed.
Yeah, especially fucking recently, because they tend to use, you know, taller fucking stills. I mean, even though the stills at Aberlour are fucking massive.
Well, they tend to blend it as well.
Yeah,
all the blended seem to be a lot lighter than the single malts.
Yeah, because they use, you know, all sorts of different fucking mixes.
Fucked up shit.
Yeah. So,
although some of the fucked up shit, the blended ones are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this is a beautiful fucking scotch.
Mm.
It is absolutely fucking wonderful. It's incredibly fucking smooth, as you would expect from a single malt. It's got a deep fucking heady flavor about it. And it fucking is not something you ever really want to mix. You know, I mean, once you start getting into those sort of half-decent single malts, you...
That's really fucking smooth, eh?
It is. That's the beauty of a single malt, my friend.
Mm.
It's just beautiful. So
that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is very dangerous. Like I said, I had about fucking a spit of it left in my bottle for the last fucking month because every weekend I'll just one. Just one.
You make sure you put some away for the shootout.
Just one. There is none for the shootout.
Fuck.
I'll just buy another bottle. Oh, no. Right. Now I have to buy another bottle. Oh, no. Shit. Fuck. My bad.
Cheers.
Oh. Just sends tingles of pleasure straight down your fucking spine. I fucking love it. I absolutely love it, man. It's a dangerous thing. I'm starting to find these more affordable single malts, which they've been coming more and more fucking common over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, I've noticed. Because, god damn me, I do love myself a nice single malt. You know what I mean? I've only got to find one more, and then we're going to have one of the most interesting fucking shootouts I think we'll have to date.
We'll have a fucking one of the most interesting podcasts today.
Quite a fucking end of it. Oh, yeah. So, look, I can't recommend this one enough. Like I said, it was only about $50, so it is one of those affordable sort of single malts you can go out there and get. And if you are a fucking Scotch drinker, by all means, go out, get yourself a fucking bottle. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Like, this and Glen Grant are the two cheap sort of, or more affordable single malts we've had come through the hall of Hallowed Beards in the last fucking sort of couple months, and both of them have just been fucking fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, little bit on the exy side if you just look at the straight numbers, but when you consider what you're getting.
What's the ABV on it?
ABV is...
be about 42, I reckon.
Hang on. I'll pull the bottle out. No, she's a 40%.
Oh, 40.
Yeah, they're all pretty traditional with that sort of shit. They do a 12, a 15, an 18, a 21, and I think a 40-year-old from fucking memory. No, a 16 and an 18-year-old, sorry. And then they do a car-strength one called Abundu. And that one's a fucking strong ass. It's like a small-batch, single-barrel sort of fucking thing that is anywhere... Yeah, it's a car-strength. So, you know, the minimum they've had in the last sort of fucking, 20 years has been sort of 60%.
Yeah, nice.
58%, something like that.
I like it.
Yeah, so, look, man, I'm going to fucking wall out, give this fucker an A+. What about you?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. Like I said, I am sort of not sorry that I have to buy another bottle for a shootout, because...
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame, indeed.
A bit like your fucking vodka.
Oh, I've got plans for that. I've got plans.
Watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to give it a straight up fucking... I'm going to put this one an A- as well.
An A-?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're all about the minuses.
I know.
My God. So those were our booze reviews for this week. Of course, you can find them on the website, www.thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you'll find all our fucking booze reviews to date, well, most of them to date at least. Or you can just re-listen to this lovely little podcast.
Why not?
Go down and find it at your local bottle shop now. Speaking of fucking whiskey.
Yeah.
Over in Finland, there's been a bit of fucking controversy.
There has. There was the beer and whiskey expo just recently. Excuse me. In the Helsinki Times, they report that the beer and whiskey expo has been refrained from using the word whiskey.
Why?
Because apparently the fucking laws in that country are fairly kind of strict. You know, you can't... I don't know why you can use beer and not whiskey, but apparently...
Yeah, this is what sort of fucking threw me.
Yeah, they had to refrain from using whiskey in the marketing and promotional side of things. Like, fuck. It's a beer and whiskey expo, and they wanted them to call it just a beer expo.
a bit of fucking underhanded bullshit.
Like,
conspiracy!
Oh, I know. Nah, it's fucking weird, man. I don't get it. You know, fucking... Yep.
Fucking ass pirates, man.
No, apparently, because they called it Visky, or Viskygate.
Viskygate!
Yeah, they had to refrain from using that on, not so much social media and all that sort of stuff, or in their fucking website, but the title, it had to be a beer expo.
So hang on, let me get this straight. They can, as long as the title of it wasn't beer or whiskey, they could be like, welcome to the beer and other expo, where we will do lots of things on whiskey.
They could have, but they didn't.
Fuck me, Rain. I wouldn't have even. I've been like, fuck y'all. Okay, start my own festival. With blackjack and hookers.
You know what?
Forget the festival.
I didn't get it. I still don't get it. I don't get why. Fucking... stupid. Stupid, I tell you!
I thought you said stupid Italians for a minute. I'm like, what?
No. Whoa. I tell you.
Whoa, accidental racism.
No. I'm not racist. Awkward pause there. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah, just a little late.
Fucking. Fuck you.
Fucking pirates.
But anyway, yeah, nah. Fucking. Oh, hey. Speaking of pirates.
Thank you for picking that up.
Fucking. They, there was a shipwreck off the coast of Finland. Finland!
Oh, fuck. We had two fucking segues we could use. Christ.
In 1842, there was a ship that went down, pretty much. And in 2010, they discovered this shipwreck. And inside it were bottles of beer. Now, I think they were fucked up. Because, not so much fucked up, but... I don't know. They may or may not have been drinkable.
I can't imagine it drinkable after all this time.
Well, they're in the bottles.
Spirits, yeah, but... Here's an anecdotal story for you, yeah?
Yeah.
A few years ago, and I'm talking quite a few years ago, one of the local beer companies over here, 4X, did a limited run. You know how you get like them sort of 5-litre fucking kegs can buy?
Yeah.
Like, Heineken likes to do them a fair bit.
Yeah.
You know, before Tap King or whatever. 4X did some. And me old man had one sitting down there, and he had it sitting down in his shed for about, fuck, I don't know, probably 5-10 years.
Mm.
Anyway, one Origin night, one night where me and a couple of mates were watching a rather large football match, or rugby match, I should say, we decided, we'd ran out of our carton, so we decided we'd crack into this fucking keg.
Mm.
No, don't ever do that. If you've got a bottle of beer that...
So beer doesn't age well?
No, it doesn't age well at all, in fact. It ages quite bad. What we... Because we didn't bother with the cups, we were just like going to pass it around and just drink straight out of the tap.
Oh, like a fucking goon bag.
Yeah, kind of like a goon bag. I was up first, and I really regret that, because what I spat out was this thick black sludge.
Nice.
So I can't imagine beer that's a couple hundred years older than that's going to be any good.
Yeah, nah. They,
especially in an age before preservatives.
They extracted what they could of, like, the yeast and all that sort of stuff, and the enzymes and whatnot, and pretty well recreated this fucking... this beer. This 1842 fucking beer.
That is actually a fucking... There's a bit of a fucking job behind that, hey?
Mm.
It was when I was reading that proof.
Yep.
There's an expert that he interviewed for the book that makes his job, his career, out of finding and recreating ancient wines.
Yeah, nice.
So, like, they get the fucking amphoras or, you know, the containers or whatever, and he does a chemical analysis, and he picks out what chemicals were used or what ingredients were used, and he goes and makes it. So, it's rather interesting. Like, it's rather interesting when you fucking look into it. That's awesome.
I've been meaning to read that. I've got the ebook at home.
Yeah, no, you should, man. By all fucking means. It's a great little book.
I'll get onto that tonight.
But, yeah, so what are they reckon about this beer? Was it any good or what?
Well, they recreated it, sorry. And, they've put a price tag of £89 a bottle.
Jesus!
I know. Now, that's the
What are they fucking selling them in for us? Well, what?
That's the expensive bottle for the high-end connoisseur. But the regular commercially viable fucking one is the Stahlhagen 1843. Apparently, it's very wine-like.
It would be back then. Yeah. I'd imagine it would be. Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of. What?
Well, that 89 fucking pounds. Fuck me, Ray. What's that?
That's the fucking expensive one. I don't
know, 700 Australian dollars.
No,
I'm joking. It's not. It's
around about 120, I think. Or 130. Don't quote me on that, but.
Aussie dollars don't great. Shit.
I think it's either 1.5, 150% of a pound is Australian dollar, or 200%. I'm not sure.
I don't know, off the top
of my head. But anyway,
the joke I was trying to slide in there just didn't work, but that's okay.
Well, you're fucked. But apparently it's very champagne-like with soft bubbles. And, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it wouldn't be terribly fucking beer-like. But yeah, no, that's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, dude. Fucking talking of wine and champagne, have you heard Melissa Etheridge?
Now, the
fucking
can of wine? I did not even know she'd had fucking cancer.
Well, I didn't know she had cancer, and B, I already knew she was a fucking pothead.
No, that, I think, is pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. Well, apparently, smoking or fucking drinking pot, I can't remember which, has kind of prevented her from this fucking cancer shit.
No, it was... Okay, so to get pseudo-political...
So survived breast cancer.
Yeah, to get pseudo-political for a minute, like, right. You can get into this age-old argument about the medicinal benefits of marijuana.
You can.
Right? So you've got fucking your proponents, which of which Melissa Etheridge is one, who's like, well, you know, pot saved my life, blah 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 blah, and then you've also got like epilepsy. Apparently, it's really really good for.
I used to have a
fucking pen pal over in Nova Scotia, who I'd talk to when I'd be all up and fried at fucking 3 a.m. in the morning, and she smoked, you know, bucket loads of pot, but she wouldn't get stoned, but it would stop seizures.
Yeah.
Like, this chick had fucking severe epilepsy, like, to the point they'd sunk, you know, the metal rods into her brain and shit. Only thing that controlled it was pot. So, you know, it wasn't a real surprise that she was a fucking pothead and she would be a fucking
We've all known that she's been a pothead for fucking ages. I didn't know she had cancer.
Like I said, foregone conclusion.
But apparently she survived breast cancer and puts the benefits towards fucking cannabis use.
Yeah.
And obviously the fucking chemotherapy and shit.
Yeah, the chemotherapy obviously maybe had something to do with it. But to bring it back onto a relevant track, she's decided to make a cannabis-infused wine.
Yeah, to kind of put it on a more of a medicated fucking plus side.
Now, I don't know if you've ever drank bong water, bro.
Can't say that I have.
There ain't nothing good about that.
I've seen someone do it, and I've seen someone cough into it that covered someone with it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Back in the day. Oh. No. Let me tell you
that's
this story, right?
Fuck.
One of my mates of, like, fucking...
Oh.
How old are we? 20? Yeah. Of the last fucking 22 years, right? We got him stoned for the first time when we were, like, fucking 17. And me and another mate made a bong out of a pop-top bottle. So he's my other mate is holding it right with the fucking cone piece facing him. The mate that I've been friends with for 22 years is fucking pulling it, and it's his first cone. So lo and behold, you fucking cough. Coughed in. Yeah, you know where this goes. Coughed into the fucking bong and covered my other mate in fucking bong water.
My sister did that to me.
I feel so sorry for you. I've seen it happen. It fucking stinks.
It's not fucking cool. Especially on them little ones, because they get so dirty
so fucking
quickly.
Quick. Yeah.
Oh, nah. When now, this is going to sound really bad, but back when I was about 13 or 14 and we first started smoking pot, and this was about 6 months before I started smoking pot, because, you know, my friend started first, because I was always a good little boy.
A little churchy.
Praise Jeebus.
Praise Jeebus!
What these fuckers would do, right? They'd get the stick, you know, the stick would last, you know, five of them all weekend.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, on the way to school on Monday, because they'd be out of pot, they'd split the fucking bong water into shots. And they'd have bong water shots.
Fuck that.
Oh no, it gets worse.
Nah.
It gets worse. So anyway, I'd been watching this shit for about, I don't know, 6-9 months, yeah? And finally, I was like, well, I'm not going to smoke pot because of whatever reason, but I might have a shot of bong water.
Oh, you idiot. Why would you do...
No, I didn't, because by the time I opened up my mouth, they'd already fucking... They were done and finished and all the rest of it. You know, a couple of weeks later, I said to my other mate...
Is that a was that a regular thing that they fucking split the bong?
They would
water?
Do it every single time.
That's nasty.
Fucking, they had a weekend where there was no parents at one of the house. We'd all go there. Fucking...
But on the way to school, they'd fucking spit the bong water.
Yeah.
Yuck.
On Monday morning, they'd get up, they'd get dressed for school, they'd fucking tip the bong water into like four or five fucking shot glasses, depending on however many of them were there.
Fuck that.
Chug the fucking bong water and then fucking toddle off to school and then spend half the morning convincing themselves that they were stoned.
Wow. That's all I've got to say for that. Wow.
And then, of course, you know, when you're 17, 18, you have all the bets of drinking bong water and shit. Oh, I can tell you now, no, it doesn't taste good.
Oh, I bet it doesn't.
I mean, even
I've never had the unfortunate fucking experience to do that.
And I mean, even if you're going to cook with pot, it's a bit of an art form to fucking make it taste good.
Yeah.
Because it can taste really horrible if you don't know what you're fucking doing. I mean, not that I would know or anything like that, because I don't do drugs, but, you know, it's a bit of a fucking art form, and
My ex-stepdad made fucking hash cake. It tasted like ass.
Oh, there's this... I did this once. I powdered up fucking half an ounce to make a smash cake. And somebody who won't be named fucking got into it. Anyway, I told her what it was, but she didn't quite understand. I'm like, it's smash cake. She's like, what is it? I said, just have a piece. You'll be fine. You know, so she had one slice. And she's like, fuck, this is really good. And I said, thanks, man. You know, because I know how to cook.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's really good. And I go, thanks, man. She's going to have another slice. I'm like, fuck it, go on. Four slices later and then fucking 2.5 hours later, time to fucking go. And she's like, I need your help. Went, what do you need? And she goes, I can't move. I laughed. I said, yeah, that'll happen. You'll be right. Get up. She goes, you don't understand. I can't move. I said, what do you mean you can't move? She literally couldn't fucking move. And it was like trying to lift a dead fucking body when I moved up.
Fucking
hell. Love. Little did I know, she had a house inspection the next day.
Did that house smell like weed?
Realist, no. Because I cooked with it. I didn't fucking smoke none of it. But she came home, this real estate lady's let herself in because this bull can't fucking passed out in the bedroom still. This fucking real estate bitch has let herself in at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's fucking smash cake all in the fucking kitchen still.
Fuck.
She never put it away after the last slice. So there's like smash cake and fucking weed butter everywhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Could just imagine.
Oh, it was good. So, I don't know, man. Would you drink some cannabis-infused wine?
I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't. I'm not a fan of wine, and I don't smoke weed anymore. So,
like, it would only really be for a taste thing, because like, you can extract, you know, all the goodness out of weed with alcohol, but you need some pretty fucking severe sort of alcohol. Like, it needs to be upwards of 95%. So, you know, wine doesn't have that.
Well, I'd say it'd be fucking, I don't know, pre-infused with some sort of shit and then added to wine, maybe?
Yeah, so this is what I don't get. I don't know. I could think of nothing worse, really, because I don't really like wine and having tried, you know, weed-infused lots of things.
Especially weed-infused bong water.
I just couldn't. I tell you where it will never turn up. The world's most expensive wine option in Hong Kong.
Fucking A right. Like, it is... just happened fucking recently. I think it was this year. Oh, no. Yeah. No, this year. Fucking 114 bottles of Burgundy sold for $1.6
million. Million dollars!
Like, that's 114 bottles. Like, divide that by 1.6 million dollars.
I'm fucking...
that's a lot of fucking money.
That is fucking... unfucking believable.
Now, no, it is believable because as of fucking 2013, China had been fucking classed as the world.
Was it 114?
1.6 million.
No, 114.
For 114 bottles, yeah. China had been.
That's $14,000 a fucking bottle!
I know! They'd been classed as the biggest, world's biggest fucking consumer of red wine. They overtook France. In 2013, sorry.
So So I suppose, you know, we're no longer having wine with our croissants. We're having wine with our dim sum.
That all fucking fried ice. Well, would you like some fried ice and wine?
What the fuck is going on with us today? We're like,
I don't know.
Kind of not accidental racism everywhere.
I'm not racist.
Well, no, but they're racist jokes.
I'm sure they do fucking Aussie racist jokes.
You fucking round-eyed McFuck. Look at you. Got buttons like fucking overcoat. Got eyes like fucking overcoat buttons. You're bacon and egg eater.
Yeah, see? See what I mean?
Oh, fuck, that's unreal, man. Isn't how the it? Fuck?
Fucking $1.6 million.
That's crazy.
Oh, man, that's nuts. Yeah, 14,121 for each bottle.
Yeah, that's 17 insane.
17, not, sorry. $1,700 fucking per glass.
Jesus Christ, that's fucked, man. That's fucked.
Isn't it?
That's hectic. That's blowing my mind.
I can see your mind just...
It's just pooling out of my fucking ears right at the moment. That's fucking insane. Oh, fucking... In other insane fucking news. Fucking, what the fuck's going on with Ghostbusters, bro?
Oh, I don't like it.
Well, discuss.
I don't like it. Fucking, Oh, Paul. Fag? What's his name?
Big Paulie F.
Yeah, Paulie F.
We may as well follow the
fucking director.
We'll follow the naming conventions we laid down with fucking Kevin T. Who I used to be able to say his name, and it's just gone.
Tenshurin?
Tenshurin. Yeah, Tenshurin, I think.
Well, Paul Feig. Or
Big
Feig.
Kevy F.
Paul F.
Big Paulie F. Sorry.
As confirmed on his Twitter account that he's officially working on the fucking Ghostbusters film. He's been asked by fucking Sony. Now, I'm pretty sure Dan Aykroyd and all them had a hand in this, and as of this moment forward, that part of the fucking Ghostbusters thing, or that whole fucking Ghostbusters project, is completely gone. Nothing. Nada. Well, it's fucking just like, it doesn't exist anymore.
I'm sure I read somewhere that it's going to be like a full-on all-girl fucking...
It is.
All
it
female
is. What is
going to
confirm?
Which, I mean, yeah, yay, hashtag yes all women, but... This sort of smacks
yeah,
of...
Yay for feminism, but fucking
this
seriously?
Sort of smacks of a fucking gimmick, if you ask me.
It is. It is a gimmick. And but he's trying to kind of tiptoe around the whole, I don't want to do a reboot. I don't want to continue on from the story and kind of fuck the story arc. Nor do I want to use characters and cameos that are actually them.
So what, in an alternate dimension?
But pretty much he's gone and said he's doing a reboot. It's going to be an all-female cast. The cameos that he is going to use, I think, is going to be not so much the characters they played, but they're just going to be people.
So they're going to do the little nods, like have the, like yeah. In Flash, he got John Wesley Shipp playing his father.
Playing some other fucking dude.
Well, come in.
Fuck it. Anyway, yeah, so that's... I don't know. I'm on the fence.
No.
Does this fucking tiptoe and kind of pay respectful homage to the original series, or does it fucking slap it right in the fucking face?
It slaps it in the fucking face, if you ask me. Like, it doesn't need a reboot. You know what I mean? This shit that Hollywood's doing at the moment of fucking just redoing the same shit over and over and over and over and over
See,
again.
This is the problem I've had all along. Reboots and remakes aren't necessary.
Well, sometimes they can be a good thing, you know.
But not from recent shit. Like if it's 20-year-old, don't fucking touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Like,
but if it's like fucking 40, 50, 60, 100-year-old, reboot it for this day and age.
I mean, look, I reserve the right to be wrong. Like maybe it's going to be fucking absolutely amazing, and
it could be.
Yay, cool. But they're making too big of a deal over the fact that it's all female fucking leads and shit. Like, you know what I mean? It's smacks of gimmickry.
Well, that's
you know what I mean? It's cheapening a thing that's already fucking shouldn't be happening in the first place.
Opinion. It's a mainstream movie with a cult behind it, and this cult are fucking so enthusiastic about what they are and who they are.
Their movies that hold up.
They are.
You know what I mean? Like. you know, there's no need to remake them or modernize them because they still fucking hold up. You know, there are fucking things that date it, but it's an essentially fucking timeless story.
It's they're movies that have brought in things that not necessarily were done before, and it's the turn of the industry as far as
a big degree, yeah.
As far as fucking imagery and fucking what's the word I'm looking for?
Stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, to me, the biggest problem is the effects that they use, that's the word. Like, to me, it's smacks of fucking gimmickry and it's not needed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my problem. Like, I was kind of on board before, but now it's just... It's crossed that line into, you know, jumping fucking sharks and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Fuck me. All they need to do to make this movie worse is get Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray to just walk on screen, look directly down fucking camera two, and just wink. And then just keep walking.
Who the fuck would make a movie about Ghostbusters?
Like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just look straight down camera, a la fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back style.
Yeah.
Wink at the camera, and then walk off. You know what I mean? Like, for fuck's sake. And, fuck it. While I've got me blood up, they're making a motherfucking Tetris movie, man. Motherfucking Tetris movie. A Tetris movie!
How do you make a Tetris movie?
I don't know. Okay, I really don't know. It's been
answer
made
me
by,
that Riddler.
It's been made by Threshold Entertainment.
Who the fuck are they?
Okay, so their CEO, followed by the name of Larry Kazanov, made the Mortal Kombat movie way back in '95.
The original?
The original Mortal Kombat.
I'm all for that. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. Number two sucks, but okay.
He has come out and said it's going to be a very big, epic sci-fi movie.
So how do you...
We're not giving feet to geometric shapes, he went on to say while pulling his fucking asshole. What you will see in Tetris is the teeny tip of an iceberg that has an intergalactic significance.
So pretty much it's got the name Tetris, but it's not have anything to do with the Tetris game.
More to the point, it's a movie based on a game with bricks. Falling bricks. Falling bricks in a movie. There is no fucking way you are going to make this work.
A sci-fi movie out of falling bricks.
No. No, just no. What the fuck is wrong with people, man? Has Hollywood gone up and lost its fucking mind?
Well, they are scraping the barrel, bottom
God
of the barrel with the...
Damn it!
Yeah.
I had to mention it. It's up there with Angry Birds. Like, who the fuck is going to make an Angry Birds movie? Oh, I know. Fucking Hollywood. God fucking damn.
To be fair, Angry Birds is fucking everywhere.
so was Tetris.
It's going to be a tweeny movie. Angry Birds.
I don't give a fuck what it is. It's a goddamn video game. One that does not lend itself to a fucking movie. Wow. Shut up, phone. God
with
damn
that interruption. Hang on. My kids were playing fucking Star Wars Angry Birds, right?
Yep.
And on it there's this toons.com fucking Angry Birds kind of thing. And on there I saw them watching a live action fucking Angry Birds race. And it was just people in go-karts racing down the fucking road. Now Tell me this, Hollywood. How the fuck do you make an Angry Bird into a human, but still call it an Angry Bird?
You're fucking anthropomorphizing fucking bullshit. That's fucking how. Like this Sonic movie that they're making, where it's going to be a blend of CGI and fucking real life. Live action. Live action! Hey! Fuck off, man. Go fuck yourself with a pointed fucking stick,
your
eh?
Fucking turtle man.
I tell you what, you know what does give me hope though, as far as adaptations go.
Yeah,
fucking the Ghost in the Shell adaptation.
Yes,
I had heard nothing about that till this week when it came out that
I vaguely remember not too long ago that they were thinking of doing a live adaptation of Ghost in the Shell, but I didn't read too much into it. Yeah. Anyway. So I remember hearing about it, but I didn't read too much into it.
Yeah, well, I honestly hadn't heard fucking nothing. All I heard was old ScarJo got fucking offered $10 million.
Fuck you! I fucking knew you'd do that. Fucking ScarJo. Scarlett Johansson, or Johansson if you're fucking in
Johansson.
Germany.
Johansson?
Or your Netherlands. Look, Netherlands.
Man, a bit of fucking research into this movie is all sorts of fucked up, right? Okay?
Yeah.
So it's DreamWorks that's making it, first of all.
In a,
now, have you watched Ghost in the Shell?
Some of it, yeah.
It does not, to me, lend itself to a DreamWorks project.
No, generally DreamWorks do your fucking 3D animation shit, do they?
Yeah, but they do sort of kiddie stuff, and I wouldn't call Ghost in the Shell kiddie by any stretch of the fucking imagination.
Hey! No.
And then it's being directed by Rupert Sanders. Now, does that name sound familiar?
It does, but I don't know.
Okay, you've heard of Kristen Stewart? Or as she's been termed here forevermore, Slut Guts.
Yeah.
He's part of the reason she's called Slut Guts. He directed fucking Snow White and the Huntsman. The one that him who's married to super hot model and Slut Guts, who's married to poor old fucking Pattinson or whatever the fuck he calls himself.
Yeah.
Got caught fuck arson about. Literally fuck arson about the place. So, you know. So the series is based, you know, series that was done by Masamune Shiro is all about members of a covert ops unit that take on technology-related crime. You know, they're all cyborgs and shit. Yeah. And, you know, it was an unreal. That was a really good fucking PlayStation game out at one stage. It was just fucking unreal. So it looks like they're no longer pursuing the role, giving the role to Margot Robbie, who was in... well, no, she's good. Fuck you. I like her.
No, but aside from ScarJo, as you fucking refer her to.
Yeah, well, I think they've gone with her because she's got such pull power at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, fucking... get your mind out of the gutter, you motherfucker. No, like...
Okay, go on.
No, get your mind out of the gutter, you fucking what? Child. I'm saying, like, you know, okay, so Lucy made over $400 million at the box office.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though it got slammed by the critics, it still made a shit ton of fucking money.
The critics don't know shit, man. They just go off the fucking first 2 days of box office. That's it.
No, but like I'm talking like in its cinematic run and made $400 million.
Yeah.
And even if it was over fucking 3 days or 4 days, $400 million is a fucking lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, that's a shit ton of money. And like she's up there with a lot of fucking male action stars at the moment. You know what I mean? Like she's one of the very, you know, one of the few fucking females who can do it now. So, yeah, well, I can see why. I mean, I would've...
Black Widow in fucking Avengers?
Yes, she's Black Widow in Avengers. Yeah. And who could forget her highly fucking critically acclaimed role in Eight-Legged Freaks?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Didn't you?
No.
She was only like 15 or 16 in that movie.
Well, there you fucking go.
It was one of her first. And that started a fucking lust affair. So, yeah, nah, fucking... I just wanted to bring that up quick, because... Well, what do you think? Do you think this movie's going to be any good or what?
Well, I think Scarlett Johansson's got a way about her that she carries herself like she... You know the chick from fucking Aeon Flux.
What?
Aeon Flux, yeah.
Which was, what, Charlize?
Yeah, Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Yeah. She carries herself like her, and I think they're going to kind of fucking go the same way with how she was in Aeon Flux.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Or they could be pulling a fucking Mila Jovovich, because I honestly reckon Mila Jovovich would have done great in this fucking movie.
Yeah, either way, all three of them are fucking great actors. Or actresses, sorry.
So is Margot Robbie. Stop shitting on the Aussie.
I didn't.
Shitting on the Aussie.
I didn't. Not once did I say she's fucking shit.
You just it's wrong.
Nah.
Like,
anyway,
to be fair, I can't really see her in this fucking role, like, or this type of movie.
Shit, they're gonna pull it off, and yeah,
I think it's gonna make money regardless because it's got Scarlett Johansson in it, and I think that's the fucking tack they've taken with putting her on. Like, she's a bit of a stunt cast
because
I don't think, given the tone of that sort of fucking world, I honestly think Mila Jovovich probably would have been better. Or fucking... Even... No, not Charlize. She's getting a bit too fucking... cray-cray with everything. But, no, well, I mean...
Regardless, all three women carry their own. And they can be fucking badass when they need to be. And have a look about them that... that portrays that. And that's exactly what Ghost in the Shell is.
Yeah, and I suppose there's little chance that Scarlett Johansson is going to jump in the backseat of a car with Rupert Sanders.
You know.
The fucking creep. Fucked up creep at that. I mean, god damn it. Have you seen Kristen Stewart?
I have seen Kristen Stewart.
Fucked up looking bitch. Anyway. Well, what's going on with Terminator Genisys, man?
Oh, man. I'm fucking over it shit.
Put so succinctly, I'm over this shit. So why is it on our fucking board for today?
It's fuck.
Fuck!
It's, for one, I think they've dropped it to a fucking PG-13 rating.
No, they have, which is fucked.
Isn't it?
I mean, even giving... Well, okay, so here's the thing. This is what I figured out the other day, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, didn't figure out the other day that they've got a different rating system over in the States, but... An American R is an MA over here.
Yeah.
So a PG-13 is an M. And PG is PG and G is G. Just put that in perspective.
Still...
NC-17, you know the rating that they all fucking dread and hate over in the States?
Yeah.
Is an R rating over here.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, we're hard.
We're
as hard as a 14-year-old looking at a Playboy mag.
Yeah. Anyway... Fucking yeah, they've gone out and said it's a PG-13, which is obviously fucking M here,
which is still fucked.
It they're starting to confuse the whole fucking story. Like it, they may pull it off, they may not.
All right, so what's the latest developments? Because last time I heard, it was sort of not really connected to the last fucking four movies, but it kind of was.
Exactly,
and Arnold coming out and spouting something. Well, you know how it's got like it's got the human flesh over the cybernetic body, so the human flesh ages, and that's why the T-800 looks so old. It's why I look anyway, so old.
Yeah, exactly that. And,
which is fucked, mind you.
They've gone out and said it's not necessarily a reboot. Oh, it's not a reboot, but it's not necessarily a sequel carrying off from where the last one ended.
Which is not necessarily such a bad thing.
No. But it's somewhere in between the first and the fucking last one. And they've gone out and said, because of time travel, this is possible.
See, this is... Okay, remember when this first got announced? Like, way back when the Hallowed Hall of Beards was still, you know, a dirt floor fucking shed in the middle of buttfuck Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mentioned there was this book that I read where it told the story of how Skynet found the outer layer... For their T-800 series. Like, they found the Arnie model.
Yep.
Who was this Austrian fucking mercenary. From what I fucking sound... They could still do that story. And by the sounds of it, if they're not doing a lot of time traveling... And they're setting it somewhere in the storyline between number one and number four. Because, I mean, that covers everything from... You know, the impregnation or the creation of John Connor... To
where he is,
you know,
today.
The future where Skynet has fucking taken over. Because they set that whole last one... Smack bang in the middle of the fucking future.
Yeah.
Right before the T-800 got released. Right. So in this book, you know, Skynet has found this model for fucking who they want to be the T-800 outer skin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which they could do, because I mean, it would fit with his age, which they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, because it's Skynet and they're using, you know, the DNA of this fucking mercenary, they could fucking young it up a bit. And still use an old fucking Arnie. I honestly think that's the only viable way they're going to be able to use Arnie in it. And then you got that stupid fucking spelling, like
Genesis
or whatever the fuck, however the fuck
it's
I want to
Genesis,
spell it.
It's not Genesis, it's Genesis.
Yeah, they could be telling the story where they've, you know, some fucking thing before, you know, D-Day. Fucking... And
alternate universe of fucking time travel
shit. Well, not even an alternate
universe.
Before, you know, because they've had their corporations that helped create Skynet. So what's to say that there wasn't a robotics or cybernetic or fucking, you know, some sort of company dealing with cybernetics called Genesis that was looking into, you know, creating these fucking Terminators for lack of, you know, the Terminators...
Maybe
and they had the files, and it follows that fucking story.
Something
and
to do with Genesis Systems.
Well, it could be. Who fucking knows, man? I don't know. It's getting long and convoluted. Like the fucking movies themselves, if you sit down and really think about them.
I'll be really surprised if they pull it off, given the fact that it's a PG.
And yeah, that scares me. Stop catering.
I'm going to sit on the fence with this one, and I'm going to stay objective and not. I don't know. They could pull it off. They might not.
I don't reckon they will.
You don't?
I don't. It's just my warning.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. I've got no other thing to say about that subject.
And look, we're coming up on an
hour. Because it confuses me, and it... Fuck.
So, we're coming up on an hour, so I've got a decision to make. Well, we've got a decision to make.
Yeah.
Do we want to look at the Warner DC movie slate, or do we want to go into that next week? We'll have more time. Or do you want to go over Gotham and Star Wars? Because we are talking about them. Each of us have put that off for the last 3 weeks.
Put off DC till next week.
Okay, so we'll put off DC till next week. We'll fucking start with Gotham, man.
Gotham.
I am fucking loving this fucking goddamn show, eh?
So am I. I haven't watched the episode 4 yet.
I have.
Have ya?
I fucking love it. Oh, this is one of the shows. Like, this is probably the most adult show I've sat down and watched with my kids to date. Because there's no, like, rudy nudy stuff.
There's no rudy nudy stuff, and there's no unnecessary violence or bloodshed.
Yeah, it's not particularly fucking graphic, but I'm loving it, man. Like, I know I gave it a bit of shit when it sounded like it was gonna take off, you know, Kevin Smith's idea for fucking Gotham U.
Well, regardless of whether it did or it didn't.
Well, it hasn't, though. That's the thing. That's one of the things I was quite impressed with. It like, even though they've made, you know, the young Bruce Wayne played by David Mazouz fucking more prominent in the show, it isn't anything like fucking what...
Yeah, it's not about him. It's about fucking old Jimmy Gordon.
Yeah, and fucking, isn't he doing such a good job? Dude. Like, fucking Ben McKenzie, I never got into the OC.
I did.
I didn't.
For some fucked up reason, I did. I watched all of it.
You did.
I think it because it was my fucking housemate that watched it all the time. But she, yeah. Anyway.
But
let's move on from that subject.
You know, but
Ben McKenzie's fucking...
He's fucking owning this fucking role.
Between,
you know what I mean?
Between him and fucking Donald Logue, god damn it, it's fucking... I'm loving it.
Yeah, and the dynamic between those two is just fucking great, you know what I mean?
Fucking oaf.
I'm loving it. Like, Donald Logue, like, he's always been able to pull off the bit of a fucking... The bit of a degenerate in just about every fucking role he's done.
And this one he's playing the corrupt cop.
Yeah, the corrupt cop who we all know eventually gets turned around to become a solid, upstanding officer of the law. And Sean Pertwee. Fucking, I'm loving this Alfred.
Yeah. Isn't he so fucking... Not much of a not as much of a butler, but more of a fucking... A mentor in the fact that he's...
Yeah, a proper fucking father figure instead of the fucking Jeeves-like character that you get a lot of the time.
Like, he's got his thing to uphold with Bruce's dad, where he's said that Bruce has got to make his own decisions.
Yeah,
but he's still there to try and guide him and say, look, you can't fucking do that. Or you've got to fucking do this.
Like
you
know, you've got to fucking eat! God damn it, you're going to waste away, you're going to fucking eat!
Bloody hell down there, you little shite!
Like, that's the only...
You fucking twat!
I mean, that's probably the only thing that fucking bugs me just the tiniest bit, is he's got such this hard fucking working class fucking ochre accent. You know what I mean? It's not the size of a tangerine, it's a fucking tangerine, cunt! Get down here and eat your fucking orange!
What's that movie we watched? Something versus zombies?
Cockneys versus zombies.
Yeah, he's got such a Cockney fucking tone to himself.
It's a fucking hard working class.
I like it.
It's kind of hard to buy him as a butler, but he does such a fucking great job. And speaking of cunts who do such a really good job, the MVP of this whole series so far has been Robert Lord Taylor. He's playing...
He plays the Penguin.
Penguin.
Yeah. Fucking
oh,
hard.
My
dude.
Fucking
oh.
God. By far the standout fucking fucker in this whole fucking McFuck. It's sexy.
Oh, really?
It's sexy, man. I am loving the fucking Oswald in this, eh? He is so fucking twisted. And to watch him go from, like, this sniveling little fuck to this
truly
fucking
downright
degenerate
sadistic
fucking,
yeah.
Oh, my God, man. I am fucking loving it, hey? Like, it is
It's
just...
definitely paving the way for what they want him to really be. Like, Danny DeVito fucking played him in the Batman movies great.
And that's the thing. He's based his fucking portrayal on that performance.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know that. Like, I fucking wasn't until I was watching an interview. I didn't pick that up.
What, that he's based it on Danny DeVito's?
Yeah, because Danny DeVito's Penguin and fucking Robin Lord Taylor's Penguin is just so fucking different.
Mm.
You know, like, it is fucking unreal. You watch fucking episode 4, it is fucking unreal. Oh, God, I'm absolutely loving it. The only thing I don't like about this fucking casting is Jada Pinkett Smith.
Too much.
She fucking just shits me to tears. She is that over the fucking top and just fucking horrible, man. It's
too dramatic for what she needs to be.
I cannot wait till Oswald fucking just takes her the fuck out. I really can't. You know what I mean? And, you know...
Yeah, I had one other problem with this series.
Yeah.
The very first episode.
Yeah.
I feel that they didn't need to, but they crammed too many of the villains into the first episode.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had a problem with just how many they tried to cram.
They had the Joker, they had the Riddler, they had fucking...
No. Hold up, back up.
What?
They've said that they're never going to reveal the Joker. There's going to be multiple little hints and clues and different characters who could potentially... be
well,
the Joker.
That
they're
was
never
the fucking
gonna
one that.
It.
Yeah, well, the comedian that fucking.
Yeah, the comedian
what's
at, the
faces
at
the
start. Club. Yeah, I want to die like my dad. You know, peacefully.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that I thought.
Not so much, but.
And then they've got the Riddler, and then they've got fucking Poison Ivy and fucking Catwoman. I'm sure that was all. Oh, and the Penguin, yeah. That they didn't really necessarily need to put all of them in. The same fucking story arc, the very same fucking episode, the very second part.
Well, they didn't, but I mean, like, they didn't fucking overplay that as they went on.
No, which
you
is
know
the,
what I mean?
Which is the bonus.
Which was good because, like, they went, yep, okay, here's all your fucking cameos, and then we're just gonna sift all that shit back, and we're gonna focus on the story of a young fucking Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it took them 3 episodes to start calling him Jim more than James.
James.
You know what
I mean?
Very
formal, James.
And even though I was a little bit dubious on Richard Kine, who plays the mayor at the start, because he's always played such the comedic sort of role, and he's playing it fairly straight.
I can't
get
past the fact that he, the fucking grasshopper he played in A Bug's Life. I can't get, he's always going to be Hopper's fucking brother.
Yeah, well, so that's what I mean. He's always played those sort of comedic roles, and he's playing it so straight here. That it did take me a little bit to get past, but I mean, even that I'm on board with. But it's always nice to see David Zayas get a fucking get a bit of a win in. I've loved him since fucking Oz. I have, man. I fucking love that fucking show, and like, you know, it jarred me watching him play a cop in fucking Dexter.
Yeah,
it's good to see him come back to something that he does so fucking well, you know. But like, all in all, man, I'm absolutely loving this fucking show. I cannot be happier. My kids are fucking loving it as well. You know what I mean? Like, they are fucking truly loving it. Like, there's a 15-minute fucking stop at the end of the fucking show where we'll sit down and discuss.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Like, all 3 of them will sit there wrapped and watch it and fucking get all excited and G'd up. Yeah, you know.
See, coming from a point of view where they don't really know
and that's
too
the
much
they,
about
they don't.
The Batman fucking universe.
Yeah, they don't. Like, and they know who Batman is.
Yeah.
But that's about the extent of it. Like, but I mean, they love Lego Batman. Dude.
None of the fucking costumes or none of the fucking... any sort of that shit are in it. It's more of a... it's more like a fucking Batmanized NYPD Blue. Or
well,
fucking...
not even that to the extent. Like, you know, because you've got your Batman characters in there.
Yeah.
But they're sort of staying away. Like, I think episode 4 was the first time they really brought up the whole vigilante thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a vigilante in that. But they're really sort of staying away from that. And it's more the procedural sort of fucking drama, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah.
Which is a fucking really interesting fucking take on it. And I'm fucking truly loving it. And it's not just me and it's not just you. It's everybody, because Fox has officially extended the first season run from 16 to 22 episodes.
Fuck yeah.
So we're getting at least another 6 this first run, which means hopefully they won't pull a fucking Survivor Jack and kill it on us at the end.
Yeah, they better not.
They're doing it right, you know what I mean? Like, you look at fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yep.
Which was a slow burner. This has come out the gate strong, hard, and fucking indignant, and it's fucking riding it. Absolutely right.
Now, do you think that they're going to fucking... well, they can't.
What?
I was going to say they can't. Do you think they can kind of thread it through into the fucking DC universe, but they can't.
Nah, so what they've done with that is they're going to try and bring the multiverse to the screen.
Yeah. See, that's
so that's
not
why,
so much the problem, but that's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were going for.
Well, see, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was trying to keep the one continuity. Yep. You know what I mean? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is all tied up with the Avengers and the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with... Yeah, whereas with DC, because they've spread their oats, you know, so you got the CW's got a bunch, NBC's got Constantine, Sony. Fox has got Gotham, fucking all the rest of it. And when you find out, especially this week with the announcement from the fucking DC movie slate, that Ezra Miller, who is a creepy little fucker, just quietly, is being cast in the Flash movie as the Flash. They've come out and they've said, nah, we're going to play to the multiverse, because, you know, the universe, the comics in Marvel and DC, is there's multiverses, you know what I mean? You got your Earth 1s and your Earth 2s and your Earth 3s and your Earth 4s, and they all sort of fucking fuck around and fit in together and shit.
Yeah.
That's what they're attempting to do, which is fucking goddamn ambitious, while still leaving open the fact that you may see Stephen Amell in a Green Arrow movie. Or a fucking Justice League movie or something like that.
I'm pretty sure they've fucking stamped that out.
Well, they've stamped it out for now, you know, because the shooting between a TV and a movie is so fucking different.
But even so, I think they've already stamped it out that Stephen Amell is not going to be a fucking...
Yeah, they say that
in
now.
In a cinematic universe.
Yeah, they say that now. But if they come out and say, you know, well, we're going to do, you know, multiverse, there's no reason why at some stage.
Good on him if he pulls that role.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying him specifically. I'm just using him for an example because I can't remember who plays Flash at the moment because I'm pissed.
Well, given the fact that fucking Grant Gunston?
That's the one.
Grant Gunston.
Yeah, that's the
one. Is fucking playing Flash and they've cast
Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no... Especially with the Flash, because from the start, they've been pushing the whole Flashpoint event, which is what knocked over the whole DC thing, and then that's what they launched the New 52 with. So that's what I'm saying. They're saying that the multiverse can exist, and then with the Flash especially, they're really pounding towards the end goal being, or at some stage there being a Flashpoint arc, which is just fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, there's every chance that they could. They're just fucking not at the moment. You know what I mean? Which is...
Well, it's going to be a few years.
Fuck yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be a while. But, I mean, I don't even need to watch any more to rate this fucking series. What about you?
Oh, shit. I think I need to watch number 4.
Need to watch number 4?
Yeah.
You're going to love number 4.
Okay.
Let me ruin it for you, though.
Don't. No!
Fine. Well, we'll move on to Star Wars then.
Star Wars Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels, man. Holy fucking hell. This is another one. I think I might have finally been able to crack the code. Right. So, my kids love sci-fi. Cannot get them into Star Wars. I have tried.
Star Wars is like the epitome of sci-fi.
I have tried. I have tried for fucking 6 long years to get them into Star Wars. I'm not joking with you. I put it down to their mother. Their mother has got to them because she hates anything sci-fi. Right? They love Stargate. They love Doctor Who. They love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They love fucking Star Trek. I can sit down and watch Star Trek with them, like the movies. Right? Any sci-fi movie you want, I can sit down and watch it with them. They love it.
They didn't even like Clone Wars.
They don't like Clone Wars.
Really?
Because it's Star Wars.
Fuck.
And they hate Star Wars. I don't know why. I've tried everything. I've tried the old one. I've tried the prequels. I've tried the original trilogy. I've tried everything, man. This, I think, might finally push it over the edge.
Because
they love this fucking series.
So I don't get why they love this one and didn't like Clone Wars.
I don't know either. I don't know. Maybe it's because I sat them down and forced them to watch it from the start. But I mean, like, by the end of fucking Spark of the Rebellion...
You will sit down and watch this goddamn movie.
Because I'm
movie.
Like, fuck
I
it.
Mean,
this
series.
Is, no, because I was like, fuck it. This is what we're watching. Don't want to watch Star Wars. Fucking 20 minutes into it, they're like, what's happening next? And I'm like, I don't know. You've watched as much as I have. Fucking shut up. They're loving it, man. And then it was so funny. It was so funny. I sat down and watched Droids in Distress with them.
Yeah.
Which has the brilliant cameo of C-3PO and fucking R2-D2.
Fucking A.
Which was our first sort of real sort of crossover until the news came out this week that they're going to insert a scene.
Well, there was Wookiees.
Well, they don't count.
Why?
Because they were animated like shit.
I know that.
That shat me. That was the one thing that shaped me out of that whole first fucking episode, right? Especially the slap and the chops that is, you know, they're running across a field, or there's a field, right? Yeah. With all the wheat chaff blowing in the wind.
Oh, yeah.
Yet the Wookiees look like they were carved out of plasticine. But anyway, yeah, no, this episode, because I really wanted to watch this episode, because it had C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
Yeah? And R2, they used the same soundbite for R2-D2 that they use in the Xbox 360 Star Wars editions.
Yeah.
Which they hear at least, I don't know, 30 times a fucking week. And they go, Dan, that made the same noise as your Xbox. And I went, you want to know why? They're like, why? Because he's in every fucking movie. Is he really? I'm like, yes. And the fucking music to this fucking show. I'm going to bring this up. We'll get back to the casting in a minute. But the fucking soundtrack to this fucking goddamn series is, oh my God. It is fucking cream in the jeans type fucking material. No, it is. Because what's his name? Fucking Kent Kiner. Or Kirk what? Kiner.
What?
That's the composer for the series, right?
Oh, I don't
He's
know.
The dude in charge what? Of all the
music. Both,
He is doing such a masterful job of blending, you know, themes and sounds from the original series, like the original trilogy, and the prequels with his own sort of work.
Mm.
Like, I showed you the scene just before we started. You know what I mean? Ezra, in the second episode, he's like, you know, force pushed the fucking dude. And it's hardcore Rebels sort of fucking theme. And then right at the end, it's the Force theme from the original fucking trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, like, just those little tiny notes and strands all the way through it that just...
I mean, why wouldn't you? It's fucking... It's Star Wars, man.
Well, I mean, it's perfection in fucking music form, as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? And then to fucking use that in such a masterful way.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's what I'm more impressed with. The fact that he isn't relying on it so much. It's a very understated sort of fucking use, but it's still there.
Yeah, it definitely... It's not overbearing, but it definitely provides atmosphere to the certain situation.
Yeah, it's that little wink to the fucking...
It's the perfect atmosphere at that.
It's a perfect little wink to the original, like, to fans of the movies, yeah. Old or new, because, I mean, there's fans of both. And then when you get people like me, who is attempting to get his children into it, right... You watch, say, season one. After season one, I might fucking try the movies again. Because by that stage, they should be in a rabid fucking fever, and there's 12 months.
Hmm.
You're like, well, let's watch the movies. We'll watch the hatchet fucking theory. You know what I mean? And that music is going to help them to fucking immerse themselves into it because they've been hearing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not an original fucking score. It's the working of it in through. That is amazing. And I was kind of happy that it wasn't as kiddie, because I was really worried that it was going to be extremely sort of fucking childlike.
Well,
because it's Disney XD.
Didn't they do fucking Clone Wars as well?
Yeah, but like Clone Wars grew and it wasn't, you know, a specific child sort of fucking
channel. Well, that's what I mean.
Channel.
Yeah, but the way they've done some of the fucking animation, I'm not all keen with.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking... I don't know. It's very... I'm gonna... For lack of a better word, it's fucking too cartoony to me. Whereas Clone Wars was on the verge of cartoon and three-dimensional fucking animation.
Yeah, like, I mean, there is some misstep
like,
for
I'm
the
not,
animation.
I'm not saying it's fucking, like... Terrible! It's I can't watch it.
I don't know. The Wookiees were pretty fucking horrific.
Yeah, well, that was in one episode. But anyway, it's not that terrible that I can't fucking watch it. But I can definitely associate it with Disney. Whereas the Clone Wars, you could immerse yourself, but not attach yourself to Disney with it.
Yeah. See, what I mean by not as kiddy as what I was worried, or not as Disney-fied as what I was worried about,
like,
is
princesses and princes and the horses that talk.
Okay, so the first episode, yeah, because there's been technically three, I suppose you want to call it. Well, the special fucking movie length premiere, and then the 40-minute premiere, and then episode two, right? That whole first one was about the slaves going to Kessel.
Yeah.
Right, which was the Wookiees. And oh, how good was the little nod to fucking Ralph McQuarrie's design? Okay, so you know the big dude? fucking what's his name? Zeb.
Yeah.
His design was based on Ralph McQuarrie's original design of the Wookiees.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in the first episode where they, you know, they're like, oh, we've got a Wookiee fucking slave or whatever. They have, and that's no Wookiee. That's a fucking big nod to fucking... Yeah, he is. Just maybe not what made it the screen sort of thing. Fair but much. Like, also in the first... Like, they're dealing with slavery. And then at the end, like, as funny as it was, and as much of a throwaway thing as it was, like, that main... IIS fucking agent, like that agent Kallus, and the Stormtrooper's like, is that your first Jedi you've seen? And oh, mate, just kicks him off to his death.
Yeah
that's fucking decently heavy for a fucking kid show, I think.
Yeah, just a wee bit
done in a funny way, but still. And then like the episode 2 where they're dealing with those rifles that wiped out once again, Zeb's fucking homeworld, and old Kallus is like, I'm the one who authorized them. Like, yeah, it's a bit arch, but still, fuck.
It's about not completely fucking kid-eyes.
That's the same sort of fucking tone that the original series had. You know what I mean? Like, fuck. That's good, man. That's cool. Now, I just hope that it does what Clone Wars did so well, which is grow with its audience. You know what I mean? Because that was one good thing about Clone Wars is, and it's a pity I could never get into it, is it grew with its audience. You know what I mean? Like, you watch them first fucking, that first season, and then you watch, you know, the last couple, and the tone is so much more mature and more adult because it picked its demographic at the start, and it didn't stay there.
It evolved.
Continued to evolve and age and grow and fucking become darker, more adult, more mature.
Yeah.
If Disney can do that with this, I'm fucking sold. I think you're sold already. I'm sold already, yeah. And I mean, I admit I had a bit of a hand up because I read A New Dawn.
Yep.
Which you don't need to read to really get the series, but it's still a nice little fucking supplement to it.
A bit like the Godzilla supplement you get before the movie. That graphic novel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, actually, fuck. Speaking of the fucking new books, in Tarkin they revealed bloody Palpatine's first name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Sheev Palpatine. No wonder he just called himself Palpatine.
Yeah, no. I'd be embarrassed.
I would call myself Sheev.
Sheev? But Sheev or Sheev?
Sheev. 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 They call me Sheev.
Steven. They call me Steven.
Sheev. So, yeah, no, I just wanted to touch on both of those because we've both held off on talking about them until we were in the same fucking room. And I loved them both.
Yeah, so did I.
Gotham and Star Wars Rebels, man. Star Wars Rebels, if it gets my kids into Star Wars alone, that's worth it. And just, it's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, everything counts now. Since Disney brought it, they're making the Marvel method, so to speak, look like fucking child's play. Because every book, every game, every character fucking counts. It's all going to interweave and interlock and everything like that. And, I mean, as to where this goes, I have no fucking idea. You know what I mean? But there's every chance. Like, there's talk that maybe Kanan becomes Max von Sydow's character in episode 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big thing at the moment is, you know, somebody at least from fucking bloody Rebels has got to turn up in episode 7. And the fact that, like, Hera, like, you know, the Twi'lek fucking...
C-3PO.
Well,
R2-D2.
Well, I mean, they're going to be in everything. They're going to be in everything. But, like, you know, the Twi'lek fucking Hera.
Yeah.
Her last name is the same last name as the dancing girl in Jabba's Palace who gets fucked up by the Rancor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. You know what I mean? And that's even mentioned in the book. You know, she talks about it. So they discuss her sister in passing, which is fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, they're interweaving everything. Like, it kind of sucks that, you know, the 400 fucking books I've read
don't mean shit.
Don't necessarily mean anything anymore.
Yeah. Well, they do. They do, because they're...
Well, they're classed as legends now.
Yeah.
So they're not technically canon, but they're going to cherry pick from the canon, and it's going to be fucking interesting. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to seeing where they're doing it. From what I can see so far, Disney's doing it right.
Nice.
So I'm happy. I'm really happy. And as for this fucking series, Star Wars Rebels, so far, I'm fucking hot, sold. Hook, line, and fucking sinker.
That's a big fucking statement.
It is. It is.
After two episodes.
Well, especially considering how worried I was about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was so fucking concerned. And I'm so glad to be wrong. I've never been gladder to be wrong in my life. So we're gonna put a pin in it there. I reckon it's there's a lot more.
To quote the immortal fucking agent from Bolt, let's put a pin in it.
Let's put a pin in it.
Oh, what's that behind your ear? It's a pin. Let's put a pin in it for later.
God damn.
I watched that the other day.
I fucking figured. I'd hope so. So even though there's a lot more we could talk about, I think we're going to have to leave it right there for now. My name's Drunkard Dan. Thank you for joining us. JD, where the fuck can they find you, bro?
Head over to www.thedrunkardbeersman.com, where you find all the extras, including written and audio reviews of all our booze from the show. Also from there, you can follow the link and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you have any questions on the show, or if you have any alcoholic beverage you would like us to review, send us an email at mailbag@thedrunkardbeardsman.com.
Now, with the Twitter, we are on Twitter at drunkbeardsman, or we've also decided to get greedy and start our own Twitter account. You can follow me at thedrunkledan, because there's already at drunkledan, the fucktard.
Just make it to make sure it's the...
thedrunkledan. Your Twitter handle's changed from fucking week to week, so what is
no,
it
no,
this
no,
week?
No, I've only changed it once. It's at @unofficial_JD.
So, that's us. Till next week, we're going to stay on the same bearded channel at the same bearded time. I'm Drunkledan.
I'm JD.
And remember...
stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Cheers! Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
My beard, it's looking tight. Get up close, it won't bite. My beard are gonna have a really nice time. My beard, it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find.
You don't have to be scared.
Just touch it, baby, yeah.
Of my facial hair.
Just put your hand right there.
There's magic in the air.
You darling, yeah, you really want to clutch it. For reasons you can't understand. You want it so much. Baby, just retouch your hand
and touch me in the beard. Go ahead and touch me in the beard. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your head inside and say goodbye to all your fears.
Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast.
Tingles up and down your spine. Tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true. So do I want